Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple places on the internet. We're live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Kick, of course, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And I just want to mention, I'm still open to jobs and work, just if anybody wants to hit me up there. This is a great showcase of the sort of things that I can do.
Yeah, exactly. Just a small sample size, you know what I mean?
Yes. Pete, are you angling for any jobs through this intro here on the show?
Just try not to get fired from the job I do have, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, this isn't helping, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes. As you may notice, our co-host Justin is not here tonight. He's currently on a red eye.
He's on the old red eye.
The West Coast, where I believe he's going to be, I was about to say hosting the Grammys. That's not true. That already happened. We don't know where he's going.
He's Hollywood. He does have fun jobs.
Hollywood Justin. Maybe that's he's going to go somewhere like flip signs at a corner or something that. I know a lot about L.A. Anyway, here's somebody who probably knows a lot more about L.A. is our guest this evening. Yeah. He is the writer behind, among many, many other things, the highly anticipated DCKO Boss Battle, which is coming out tomorrow in comic book shops. Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Adams. Jeremy,
hey,
hello.
Hey, welcome, welcome.
I too am trying to keep my job at all not get fired.
Wow, all three of us. That's crazy. Wow. Except for me, who is freelance, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it never ends. I'm freelance kind of like.
Okay. Well, we're going to try not to get you fired tonight, right. But I am going to kick it over to my co-host Pete first. For our opening question, Pete, go for it.
Oh, my God. Your nerd wall is so impressive. Any things you want to talk about all the great things you have behind you? Any highlights you want to point out or anything that's warm?
When I had kids, it was like I had a room and it had a bunch of stuff everywhere. And then as I had kids, it started going under the bed. And then we moved. And then finally, I could bring it back out. And it started out just like getting little tchotchkes for different things I worked on. But some of this stuff, like that Superpowers was probably the best Christmas present I ever got back in the day.
Nice,
I remember getting it, just freaking out. And my kids still play with all my superpowers, though some of them are missing pieces. You know, Cyclotron still works, though. But I've got, let's see, I've got some posters. You know, Green Lantern Animated Series is my first credit. I got stuff by Alan Burnett, who's one of the people I've worked with who worked on Batman the Animated Series. And I've got some other stuff like a Soul of the Dragon poster and a Super Sons poster for some of the animated stuff I wrote. But it's nice to have my own little room to put everything in, you know?
Yeah. Well, are you done with the wall, Pete? Can we move on to the comics?
Yes, we can. We can start.
Right, checking. Great. So you got a lot of stuff going on. You're tackling a ton of books right now, and I'd love to talk about a bunch of them. But the big one that I do want to talk about is DCKO Boss Battle, which, as I mentioned, is coming out tomorrow. For people who don't know, this is part of the DCKO event, which is a multiversal tournament. You got heroes, villains. They're all trying to become King Omega, basically the being strong enough to challenge Darkseid. And this one shot, which was announced as a surprise, I was in the room and people went nuts at New York Comic Con, is bringing in multiversal challengers to give them more energy to face Darkseid. So you've got to give like part of the lineup. You've got Red Sonja, Vampirella, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat, Samantha Strong, very excited about this, from Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. I'm certainly forgetting one. Annabelle from The Conjuring.
Yeah.
And I think this is the main event, is Homelander from The Boys, the comic book, which used to be a DC comic and then went over to Dynamite. So lots of stuff on the plate there, going up against all of these other DC characters. This is, I guess, like the best place to start is where did you come in the process? Because as far
I had heard about the crossover too. It was very late in the game, and I think that I had some experience doing multi-license stuff and in animation, different things. And they asked me if I wanted to do it. And I'm the Mikey likes it of comic books, right? Like, so, hey, you want to do a crossover? Yes. You want to do tie-in? Yes. You want to know what it's about? No, just let's do it, you know? So this one was a little late in the game. And, you know, my only frustration, but, you know, even as a writer, I wish it was twice as long so you could get into some more interesting character stuff. But the art really saves the day. It was really interesting to kind of break it up and try to come up with something that doesn't interfere as much, but ties into the overarching DCKO. I was lucky. I've done 4 animated Mortal Kombat movies. So it was like, oh, I'm just going to call them up and ask them, what can I do with your characters? You know, which when you're dealing with other licensors, it's important to you know, you're playing with their toys, and so you don't want to make a fool out of yourself, and you want to make sure that they're happy with it or they're not happy with it or whatever. And the quicker you can get those, you know, bumps ironed out, the quicker the artist can get to work. So it was really fun. It was really peculiar. Samantha Strong and Lex Luthor ended up being one of my favorites. Just like it wasn't even the first one in my head. I go, well, why can't it be blah blah blah? And then I was like, oh, this will be funny, because I think Lex confronted with an anthropomorphic murderous bear is a really, you know, interesting moment. But that's one of, like, I think 3 tie-ins I've done for the different events going on, and they've each had their own particular challenges, but they're a lot of fun because it's all periphery, you know. It's all periphery around the DCKO main book. And I just liken it to, I remember when I was, you know, when it was Civil War and Marvel, and I bought all those other ones like Frontline and all the pieces to kind of see what else is going on in the world. So it's been really good. It's been really fun.
I do want to talk about some of those other spinoff one shots you've been doing, but just to get, and feel free to get in as in the weeds as you would like to or feel comfortable about. But yeah. I do think the process of putting this together is really fascinating because, like you said, a lot of the stuff I assume was lined up there, but you've got Dynamite having their own needs for their own characters, right. IDW having their own needs for Samantha Strong. I'm sure, maybe I'm wrong, but the comic book companies were probably a little more amenable than, say, I believe this is like the first time Mortal Kombat characters have been a DC comic, and at least the way they framed it at New York Comic Con. Despite, I'm forgetting the name of the guy, but the Mortal Kombat guy who was talking to Jim Lee, apparently.
Oh, Jim Boone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jim has been bothering him for years, and it's the first time. So, what are those calls like when you get on and you're like, "Can I do this? What do you need me to do? And how do you balance it all?"
So, I am very friendly with Ed because we've done these things, but his kind of right hand guy is Dominic Cianciolo. I always say it badly, but I just texted him and I'm like, "Hey, here's what I'm thinking." And he knows so much about the lore that he's like, oh, you can't do that, you know, like because of this. And he'll rattle something off. I'm like, great. That's why I called, you know, because I just want buy-in and what can I do? And so he'll kind of give me direction, like you can do this, this, and this, or something like this. I'm like, great. And I just take it and go. But it pays, you know, honestly, in anything. And writing is a huge, how to put it, my mentor always used to say to me, he's like, oh, you didn't think you were getting paid to write, did you? Because like writing's super fun. You're getting paid for all the other stuff. And luckily I have some really good relationships and kept up those relationships that help smooth it over a little bit. And like I said, if we're borrowing somebody's toys, we want to make sure that we showcase them in a respectful way, but also a really fun way. Like Sabrina was one that, you know, we put in there and I got a really nice note from the Archie people that really enjoyed it. And it was just some of them I know a lot about, some of them I don't know as much about. So I really was like, well, what do you value in this? And because it's a really, you know, it's a brief comic. You want to be able to show Vampirella and Batwoman in a way that, you know, is hilarious. Like, you know, that showcases Vampirella a little bit and makes them go, yeah, this is what, you know, she's a sexy this, that, and the other. Or Samantha Strong was interesting. I think Patrick just said, yeah, go for it. Like, I don't have any questions. I have a signing with him when I get next week. So I'll have to ask him if he was just like, you ruined everything, you know, which is always a scare. But I'm just happy to be able to do it. I mean, you guys have to know, like, I don't remember a time without superheroes in my life. And when I started writing for television and animation, I honestly just thought, if I could get one credit, I'll be good. If I get two credits, I can teach. And then, like, you know, and then, you know, it, everything, I'm very humbled by it. Like, I'm doing the thing that I dreamt of doing, and I didn't even know how to do it. I didn't know there was a step or whatever. So every time someone asks me to do something, I pretty much jump at the chance, because I'm such a comic nerd, you know, whether it was Fall of the Mutants or Millennium or whatever, I was always reading everything. And Josh Williamson will say that too, like, oh, Jeremy will do it, because you'll notice every time there's a crossover, it's like, most of the books don't cross over. And I'm like, I'll cross over, you know, I'll do it. Sometimes it's like by my choice, and sometimes I don't have a choice, but I'm happy to jump in it.
Did you have to deal with any demands in terms of who can win and who can't? Because I have to imagine, like, I don't know, I'm not thinking of a good example, but yeah. Like Sub-Zero, you are writing from the direction of the DC heroes. This is a DC right. book. So you want them to come out triumphant, I assume, in some way. But at the same time, I'm sure the Mortal Kombat guys aren't like, yeah, have Plastic Man kick Sub-Zero's ass.
No, that is the needle that needs to be threaded in a careful way, that, like, but is there a story, and not to be the chintzy version, but you remember when it would be like Spider-Man versus Superman, and you're like, oh no. And then it's like they team up at the end, and you're like, oh, you know, but is there a more interesting way to do it so that maybe we don't get to that point? Because really the foundational principle of this issue is, our final four are going to go up against the absolutes. Mm-hmm. And there's a realization that they don't have enough energy to take the absolutes. There's just no way they're going to win. So there's this moment of like, how can we generate that energy before they step into this fight? And let's just, you know, let's put the tendrils out there and pull in these really crazy characters so that we can gen up this chaotic energy. So it's not even necessarily about winning. It's about how much insanity and energy can we create. And that's what I tried to accomplish.
The one character that gives me pause here, and I don't know if this is spoiling too much necessarily about the issue, is Annabelle, who I like the Conjuring movies. She doesn't do anything.
Which I didn't know. And my thing was, you know, it was around my second child, the horror movie, I was like, oh, I can't handle these anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And, but then, you know, you have to catch up and figure out. And I think the first version, I was like, oh, it's like Chucky, right? And they're like, no, not at all. but having her with the Joker presented more of a hilarious moments, like where the Joker, I think, is responding to things that we don't even see, which is interesting. But it is funny. It was like a particular challenge in a way, but I think it handled well. And the art's so good, you know. If the art's really good, you're like, hey, who cares about this stupid scribbler?
We got a question here from YouTube, and this actually ties into something I wanted to ask anyway. Straight Bullet says for Jeremy, Adams, how do you balance Superman versus Homelander with such similar power sets? How do you balance the social significance of it as well? And I'll just note, we put up a video with the matchups, and people have been arguing on our YouTube comments for weeks, specifically like, oh, Homelander got a power up. Oh, Superman got a power down. So yeah. How'd you handle this one in particular?
It's sort of like when you always have Shazam, wink, wink, versus Superman. And there are certain things that the way I handled it is that Superman has certain tricks up his sleeve that are just so, they might be cheeseball to most people, but they're just something that is so comic booky that I'm like, well, I might as well just use that to my advantage. It doesn't take away from the fact that Homelander is incredibly powerful. And obviously, he's a parallel to Superman in so many ways. But I also like the attitude of Homelander. I think that's the difference. It's kind of like, you know, Superman, the Boy Scout, versus this person that's just like... You know, I'm going to spoil a little bit, but it's just like Superman's about to say something. Homelander's like, shh, you know, like, he starts going like, I'm so much a better version. I don't know who you are, But I'm assuming you're another in a long line of characters that want to be me, you know, this type thing. And then it pops off. And so, you know, it's always difficult, but I always try to think of, how do I put this? Like Superman, like Golden Age and Silver Age Superman is so crazy. Mm-hmm. In my head, I'm like, well, he does crazy stuff. You know, he can do stuff that you wouldn't even think of. And sometimes it's cheesy, but it can give the element of surprise. So I don't know. You'll just have to read it because it's hard because there's so many matchups, and I think it's a 30-page book. Mm. So it's an element of you have to introduce them, have some really cool action and as much little character moments as you can before you move on to the next one. And so it's a bit of a challenge. Like I said, I wish it was a mini series to a degree because I would have loved a, you know, team up with Homelander and Superman that where they can't, you know what I mean? Like that type of like, I'm stuck with this horrible person, you know?
And to get to the second part of the question about the social significance, I imagine that ties back into the page count. Like you can't really get into the fascistic tendencies of Homelander and his impact on the world because you just don't have time.
Right. You can hint at it. Like, you know, there's a little bit of hint at the fact that this guy isn't, you know, where Superman finds immediately, oh, this guy isn't a hero in what I, you know, but yeah, you can't get as deep. And it's like a catch 22. I would love that. It would be so much more research for me. And it would be so much more buy off. You would have to get more buy off from the licensors to make sure that's even more perfect. Mm-hmm. But it would be really, really neat. And I think the way it came about from what I heard is that Jim Lee's like, let's do this thing and just kind of like threw it out there and like, we're going to do this. And just it all kind of snowballed.
It's so funny. I know this is not you, but I feel like every time I go to a panel now that Scott Snyder is on, and he said this before in interviews with us, every one of his stories starts with like, so it's the middle of the night and then Jim Lee called me and that's I was so like, funny. Oh my God, what's happening? So I'm so scared. And anyway, then it turns out to be something good.
But then Scott, it seems like out of the conventions, he cracks me up because he'll spoil things. Things that I don't even know. But when they started, Josh and him started talking about DC KO, I had heard about it, I think, last year. And I'm pretty cynical. I mean, I'm not cynical, but like when you tell me this comic thing, I'm like, I don't know. And then I read the first one, I was like, oh, that's pretty good, you know. But what got me was they were talking about, I think it was either New York or whatever when they were talking about it. And Josh, it might have been San Diego, when Josh showed Superman with the brass knuckles with the suns in it. And I was like, I am writing comic books completely wrong. Like I need to amp this up to a level. And that's the thing that I think Scott Snyder has really brought with the absolute titles. And just like he keeps turning it to 11. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a really fun lesson for somebody like me who's relatively new to comics, being like, oh no, we can go crazier. You know, and that's what I'm trying to do in Aquaman. It's like, I want to go crazier, you know?
Yeah. Well, I do want to ask you about Aquaman, but first just to talk about the other one shots you've been doing, because I think they've all been so great and so different. You had the Galactic Slam one, Green Lantern Galactic Slam, which was Kyle Rayner getting sucked into a interdimensional, basically WWE match.
Right.
And then you got the Kids Are All Fight, which is John Kent trying to keep track of a bunch of kids on the Justice League Watchtower, and he can't do it. What I like about each of these and what you mentioned earlier or touched on earlier is each of them have like their own specific, very specific little pocket. Like it's not telling the same story that's happening in Titans or the main DC KO series or anything like that. It gets, and this is true, I think, of the whole event, which is very tricky, is comic book fans essentially were like, is this important? Do I have to read this? And these technically are and aren't at the same time.
Right. No, 100%. Yeah. Like they're not going to affect, they won't necessarily affect what's going on in the main DC KO book. But like, say, Galactic Slam, for instance. This is because I kept begging them to let me use Omega Bandman, which I created for The Flash. And, you know, I had done this whole intergalactic space wrestler thing, and I just love that character, you know. And the fact that they let me create characters is mind-boggling to me. And so I had pitched, I think, an Omega Bam-Man miniseries or something. And they're like, there's no way. Like, we can't, no one will buy it. But you can do something with Green Lantern that's around the DCKO event if you can think about it. And what struck me was, and this is one of those times that I totally forgot that Green Lantern wasn't tying in for whatever reason. If I would have had even a thought, it would have totally tied in terms of my main book. But I thought, oh, this is, I'm such a continuity wonk. I'm like, well, what's happening? Why isn't the Green Lanterns there? Why are the, you know, what's, I don't understand. Like, there's all these characters out in space, and are they affected? Are they not affected? And so that was kind of where I started circling around the idea of intergalactic, you know, communications being disrupted, and maybe nobody knows. So okay, we're going to use this story to kind of draw attention to what's happening on Earth. And that last scene is, you know, everybody coming to Earth to help, or at least the aliens coming to Earth. Now, whether or not anybody picks up on that, and that's the question. The Kids Are All Fight was something that was interesting because Travis Mercer and I had pitched kind of a teenage thing like a year ago or a year and a half ago, because I was desperate. I still am desperate to do kind of like a young teen book or like a Young Justice book, because I think there's a lot of really cool younger heroes. And when I was writing The Flash, I was, you know, I was kind of setting one up with Jay and Irie and Maxine, and I had brought in Fairplay, and then Jeff Johns brought in like 13 characters, because I was like, there's no kids. And Jeff's like, watch this. Woof. Like, oh my gosh, there's like 30. But like, no one's using them. So I try to use them all the time. And like, my friend Tim Sheridan did Teen Titans Academy, so I try to use the Academy kids some all the time. Mm-hmm. Part of that is also no one else is using them, so that means I'm not stepping on any toes. So when they came to me about Kids Are All Fight, they were like, oh, we want, and it was, I swear to you, it was, and this just happens in comic books sometimes, they told me what they kind of wanted. I was like, well, that's what we pitched. You know. And so we talked about who would be in it. And the catalyst for me was Mr. Terrific's son that has been brought back into continuity. There was a couple things I wanted to do with him because, you know, people don't know, Granny Goodness ripped him from the womb along with a couple other DC mm-hmm. character children and was raising them up to be like male Furies, essentially. Mm-hmm. And then I wrote him with Quiz Kid, which was one of the characters that Jeff had brought back in the Jay Garrick miniseries. And there was something about, there's sometimes characters just act in a way together, like Bart and Ace, you know, Wallace West. Like, when I wrote them for One Minute War, I was like, oh my gosh, I could write these guys forever. They're so great. And the same thing with Quiz Kid and Fairplay. I just fell in love with the way this kind of friendship act, because Fairplay is autistic and Quiz Kid kind of understands that, and there's kind of a great friendship there. It's sort of like in Green Lantern, even though Morgan is doing Green Lantern Corps, when we had Ellie and Kelly, it was just this young dynamic, but it was really neat. Anyways, I'm rambling, but they asked me to do this, and I was like, oh, this is cool, because it's kind of what's happening on the surface, and it's sort of what's happening with some of the fourth world characters, and it ties into Fairplay, because Fairplay, you know, Granny's down there and he's going to do whatever he can to stop her because she's horrible. And then Marquise was like, and spoilers for anybody who hasn't read it, but Marquise is one of my editors. And he's like, and then we're going to bring Static Shock back into continuity. And we want you to, you know, put that into the book. And I was like, this is going to be awesome. You know? Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a great, just like shoveling on characters. And I can't tell you how much, like, DC has so many amazing characters and they often don't have enough readership for individual books for those characters. So I'm constantly digging in the toy box, like, can I use this character? Can I use this character? Can I use this character? And sometimes yes, sometimes no, but I really, really love putting them in there, you know, and then setting it up. Hopefully people will take that. Like, I've done a lot of stuff with the Hawks in different books, and it's not because I want a Hawk book. It's because I'm like, I also don't want people to forget about what's happening with the Hawks or what's mm-hmm. going on with the Hawks. And here's some ideas, you know, their plan is blown up and there's a God out there that's once, you know, that wants them to Battlestar Galactica to this place, you know? So
there were two things that I wanted to call out about the Kids Are All Fight in particular. You had mentioned the whole origin of Fairplay,
yeah.
And the scene that I loved, my favorite scene in that issue, and I'm curious to hear when you hit on this, is when Fairplay is scared and he's worried and he doesn't want to be in the fight. And he's like, I lived my whole life in this horrible hell dimension in a pit and I lost my childhood. Nobody can understand that. And John Kent is like, well, actually, I've got some news for you. Yeah. When did that occur? Like, was that a light bulb moment or was that going into the book?
No, that was a light bulb moment. It wasn't. I knew that Fairplay was going to kind of be, but there was just that thing with Cass and Superman mm-hmm. or Superboy or Super, whatever you call him now, John, that I was like, this is just one of those happy accidents. Like,
oh no, he froze. Jeremy, you froze. Uh-oh. Well, we'll
I'm
see.
Here. I'm
oh,
here.
Oh, you're here. You're back. You're back. It was just a momentary thing.
Like, if anybody has empathy, it's Cass and John, you know, and it was kind of that's when writing these things takes on a life of its own. I the only, like, it happens every once in a while, and it also pays to be an uber nerd, so like, you know these things, and it feels sometimes like your subconscious is just getting you to the place you need to go. Like in Green Lantern, when I first started Green Lantern, the whole concept was there was a designated survivor lantern in the middle of Earth. And I was writing it and I was just like, oh yeah. I forget what it was, but it was like, oh yeah, I'll bring back Tom. I don't know what it was, but it was like Millennium hit me in the head. I was like, oh yeah, Tom Kalamaku is one of the last of the new Guardians. And so is Floronic Man. I'm going to have them. And people were like, you can't reference Millennium. I'm like, hell yeah, I can. You know? And then I wrote it with Floronic, and they're like, you can't use Floronic Man. I'm like, ugh. So, you know, but, it felt way organic. And if mm-hmm. you're a longtime reader, you're going, I can't believe, you know, he brought up the new Guardians, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. which isn't even in the same continuity really, but I don't care. You know, when I first started at DC, their thing, what they said to me, this is, I think it was prior to AT&T by Warner Brothers. It was like Dan DiDio, had pitched to us saying that they were going to do this thing called 5G and that everything that happened in comics happened. Mm-hmm. And so when I got hired, it was definitely, there was no set continuity. It was kind of like everything that you love happened in those books, you know, actually happened. I was like, great. That's all I need. You know? So I was, you know, pilfering, I think, the continuity. There's like a collective continuity, I feel like, in comics that we all just agree, like, yeah, that happened. Yeah, that happened. That happened. That didn't happen. That happened, you know? Mm-hmm. And there are things that we excise and we don't think about. And mm-hmm. and DC is even more peculiar, obviously, because they've rebooted their universe so many times. But then there'll be like, Green Lantern was so successful. Well, we didn't reboot this all the way, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's a very weird, very weird thing.
Yeah. Before I forget, I did want to mention every week on the show, we have a professional chef down in New Orleans named Brett Macris. He works at an amazing restaurant called Shift. If you're ever down there, check it out. He creates a cocktail for us based on the guests. And this week he created, hey, who would win in a fight between Superman and Homelander? Oh, we're doing that based on DCKO. And it is pomegranate liqueur, blue curacao, fresh lime juice, ginger beer, cayenne, and a lime wedge. And you make it in three different layers for three different multiversal layers. So there you go.
Nice.
Yep. So there you go. That's the cocktail.
There you go, guys. Yeah. You guys drink enough of those, you'll think you're either Superman or Homelander.
You'll get DC KO'd is what's
Yeah, happening. Totally.
Let's talk about Aquaman since you brought that up. So big stuff going down there. He's in the middle of the tournament right now, but we do know that coming out of that, the title is going to morph into Emperor Aquaman. Right. I know this is a couple of months in the future. Can you tell us anything about that?
So I've been writing this story in kind of three parts is how I thought about Aquaman. And it is not a character that it's a character that I'm trying to just see how like he's gotten so powerful. And a lot of people don't read the book, but like, my goal is to see how powerful I can make him before an editor says, stop. and it's been a lot of fun. And so, while he's been in this tournament, he's kind of been, he's not in the book, right? He's not in his book, or he's briefly in the book. And so we're turning to kind of the mystery surrounding his daughter and what's happening with Mira and some of those other those secrets that are coming out. And that is another one that I dig into a lot of these books, and you find things that you're like, you're kidding me. No one's talked about this. No one's written this in the you know, decades that Aquaman's been around, which I have to tell you, it's the hardest thing to do as a comic book writer, right? Is to find a pocket that no one's done. Mm-hmm. And maybe they have done, but you just don't remember, or it's like, you know, it's like in an adventure comic 8-page special that you just don't remember. So with Aquaman, I'm having a great deal of fun of you know, it's kind of a madcap group of characters, and it's gotten exponentially out of control. Aquaman is getting incredibly powerful. The idea that he's the avatar of the blue, and what does that mean, and how powerful is that? Because when you think about Swamp Thing and how cosmically powerful he can be, even the red, I think, is, though I don't think we've seen that as exploited, you know, in terms of the power set. So it's neat. It's neat. Yeah.
And then the other one you've got going on is Green Lantern. And I'm going to ask you about future stuff just because it's out there. But, are there wedding bells in our future? I tried.
You know, I can't possible. Listen, I want everybody. I am happily married, so I want to marry off everybody. there are editorial mandates. All I can say is that one of the things that happened when I started writing Green Lantern was, you know, this relationship between Carol and Hal, you know, it was always fraught with tension, and it's always back and forth, and sometimes good and sometimes bad, but they've gotten into a really, really great place. Also, I find myself really loving Carol and wanting to explore that character a lot more. I want her to be looked at as not just like, oh, that's Hal Jordan's girlfriend. I want Star Sapphire to be her own character with her own power set and her own, you know, her own everything. And that's hard because that's how she was created. But all I can say is that this, the issue in question 32, I think, is going to go a long way in helping us kind of give Carol her own journey in a way. Mm-hmm. With Hal too, it's interesting because we're building that up so that we move into Green Lantern 33, which is really Green Lantern 600, and where Kyle is going to take more of a prominent role in the book. But I'm a sucker for romance. If you read my Flash book, you know, I was constantly like Linda and Wally. You know, it was a mushy time. You know, even with Barry and Iris, though, that's a whole other controversy. I'll have to get into someday. But yeah, so I can't answer. You just got to read the book.
All right, fair enough. We got another question here from YouTube. This is from NJF Spidey 616. No better time to be working on Green Lantern with the upcoming Lanterns DC Studio show. I'm curious, any quasi-publishing tie-in push like they did with Summer of Superman?
So, not that I know of, but that usually means yes. They just didn't tell me. I haven't been asked anything with that. I haven't seen anything. I love Kyle Chandler, but I have no idea what to expect. And again, I'm a comic nerd, so generally my default position is like terrible, you know, and then it kind of wins me over. The thing is, though, Damon Lindelof did that Watchmen series, and it was so good.
Oh man,
it was so good, and I was like, I defy you to make me like you, you know? And then suddenly I was like, holy cow, this was incredible. So if that's any indication, I'm excited. But, you know, it's hard. I don't know. Maybe your guys aren't like this at all, but I'm difficult to please, you know? Mm-hmm. I love things, and I love it when something surprises me, but I'm always kind of like, well, why did they change his hair color? You're like, I'm the stupid guy that's like, I go to conventions and people's cosplay is comic accurate. How can they not do that in the show? You know?
Yeah. So you're not necessarily veering towards, we're going to get some sort of like Hal Jordan, Jon Stewart team up happening around the fall or whatever the show is coming out.
No, No, okay. I mean, honestly, it's like I had John and Hal kind of organically in the book when I killed off John Stewart, the first John Stewart, which by the way, like getting on a Zoom with my editor and Morgan and a couple people, I go, okay, guys, listen, okay, we're going to kill off John Stewart. And they're all like, what? No. And I'm like, don't worry. There are two of them. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I go, you guys have not been reading.
Scolding them.
It's like, yeah, it's like, and it's part of the nerd in me that's just like, man, I got these continuity holes that are just sitting out there. And I refuse to let them just sit out there. And it was great because we got to do it. And then Morgan got to take it over. And I'm like, sucker, you got to deal with it now.
This is a little bit of a swerve, but Dynamite has started doing Supernatural comics. Is that something that you have any interest in doing?
Yeah, I would. Here's the thing. My last season of Supernatural. So I had written with my buddy, the Scooby-Doo Supernatural crossover.
Oh, yeah.
And then they wanted me to come in on the next season, but they were going to do a spinoff show, but then the spinoff show didn't happen. So I didn't get to go on that season. So then they had me come on the last season. And they were like, we don't want you to do anything with the overarching plot. Like, that's not your job. We want you to just come up with weird ideas. And I was like, great, here are 10. And they're like, 10. You know, and I'm like, and I will go from the least crazy to the most crazy. And the first one, and they go, well, that's too crazy. And I'm like, that sucks. So I ended up just whipping out a kind of a Roadhouse episode that I thought, okay, well, maybe this. And they're like, yeah, sure. But I think for my second episode of that season, I probably had 24 ideas for Supernatural that I wanted to do. And, which is a hard place to be in. Cause that was like my first live action show that I got to write on, and it's ending. Mm-hmm. And you have 24 ideas. And then COVID hit before we even finished, you know, filming all the episodes. So who's doing it now? It's Greg Pak, right?
Yeah, Greg Pak. And they have a Valentine's Day special from Pretty Cheaper that's coming out tomorrow.
Well, I'm the biggest Greg Pak fan. Like World War Hulk is like everything for me. Well, not World War, Planet Hulk. And then I love Amadeus Cho and stuff. And he's done incredible work. So I think that's really cool with Supernatural. But yes, I'm one of those guys that, you know, I look at Thundercats and Silverhawks and I see people like Pepos doing Space Ghost. I'm like, I would love to do that. I'm so happy for you.
Well, this is obviously a lot of stuff. Is there anything else going on? I believe you're doing some Flash Gordon stuff as well. Is there?
Yeah, so my last issue of Flash Gordon, I done 15 issues of Flash Gordon. So that's ending for Mad Cave. I had such a great time. But with my exclusivity, there was like with DC, I was like, okay, I need to wrap this up. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing those. I have a DC animated Nightfall, Batman Nightfall coming out this year, which I'm excited about. I've seen it. It's unbelievable. It's great. It's scary and dark and incredibly violent.
Three-part thing? Are they doing
three-part? Yeah, it's three-part. So I had written the first one and I was going to write the second one. So I did the outline for the second one, but then everything changed in DC. And so there was a moment where everything was shelved and I honestly thought we weren't going to do it at all because Warner Animation, we were doing a few straight to video animated features a year, which was great. It was so much fun, but that kind of ended. And actually, I don't know if these are the last ones, but they're incredibly great. And then my mentor, friend, co-writer, Jim Krieg does two and three. And I did this all with one of my great collaborators, Rick Morales, who has been the, you know, in animation, he's kind of like the, it's not director is different than what this is, but he's the one making all the decisions. And I can't tell you how good it is. It's so good. And when you see this kind of like 90s Batman with the shoulder and the cap and the Batmobile, and you're like, holy crap, you know, it's really, really neat. But I'm super, super excited. It's Tim Drake as like with his, you know, tabi shoes and like the classic look when he first popped on the scene. You're just like, this is, oh my gosh, I don't know if I've ever seen Tim Drake in animation, honestly.
We actually have a question on that that just popped up on YouTube. Kyle Tonarella says, how different was it to write for Damian Wayne in Super Sons to Tim Drake in Nightfall?
They are night and day, man. Like Damian Wayne is a child assassin. Like, you know, I love Damian Wayne because he just, what was the issue where he just like kidnapped the Teen Titans? It's like, I loved, and I remember, I always have this experience and you would think I would learn, but you know, I remember them saying, you know, Bruce Wayne had died, right? Like they'd killed Bruce Wayne off and it was like Dick Grayson's Batman now. And it's Damian Wayne. I'm like, ugh, this is going to be terrible. And then suddenly you realize their attitudes totally shifted. And you know, Dick Grayson's kind of like a smileier Batman and Damian Wayne is like, do not kill these people, please. It was so good. I was like, oh, I could just read that forever. Mm-hmm. So it was night and day. Tim is he's more earnest and he is a detective. But in this case, in the story of Nightfall, generally, it's like this is post Jason Todd being killed. So there's a level of Batman not letting him be like not letting him jump into danger as much because he's gun shy, you know, crowbar shy, you know, and so it's totally different to write. It's they're really are night and day in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Cool. Anything else you want to plug, Jeremy?
No, I mean, listen, guys, I hopefully have some new comics that we'll talk about in the summer. But meanwhile, it's Green Lantern and Aquaman and these DCKO tie-ins and just grinding away, having a great time. I'm glad they're letting me do this stuff.
Well, keep up the great work, man. It's awesome reading it.
Really, yeah, hopefully this interview, as we talked about at the beginning, doesn't get you fired, but yes. I guess we'll see what happens.
Fingers crossed.
Jeremy, great chatting with you. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. Congrats
on
everything.
Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it.
See you.
All right, there we go. Man, once again, the main thing to check out tomorrow is DCKO Boss Battle number one coming out from DC Comics. It's going to be on stands. If you want to go back, you can check out Green Lantern Galactic Slam, which is a lot of fun. And the kids are all fight, which is a lot of fun as well. And all the other things going on. There you go. And folks, we are going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments about absolutely anything and we will answer it. Pete, what are you drinking? What are you checking out?
A Godzilla beer.
Yeah, oh, nice. Did you get that 99 beers thing? Do you know about this? I tagged you about it in the Discord, right?
Yeah. I didn't get 99 of them, but, you know, I got a case.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
This is from The Big. In the MCU, first Mr. Immortal in She-Hulk and now Doorman and Wonder Man. Is this all part of a backdoor super secret Great Lake Avengers project? I hope so. I love the Great Lakes Avengers. Yeah, I think they are super fun. I always really enjoyed them. I almost went back and tried to find, I'm sure I have the original West Coast Avengers issue where they appear somewhere in my house. I don't know where it is. But yeah, I think that would be great. Like they tried to do New Warriors with Squirrel Girl years back and it didn't take off. Do Great Lakes Avengers with Squirrel Girl. The people want it. Pete?
People love it.
Yeah.
Pete? Yeah, sure. I don't know. Why not? I'm not a huge fan of the Great Lakes Avengers, but hey, man, nerdy stuff is cool.
Yeah. We got one here from Capricorn Media Projects.
Hey, Capricorn Media Projects.
That 1776 AI trailer was nuts. Thoughts? My thoughts are AI sucks.
Hey, I don't want to get killed in my sleep by robots, but...
That's not how it works. It doesn't have thoughts. It's a predictive text model. It looked like absolute garbage. This was the thing that Darren Aronofsky did, I believe, right? It looked like absolute garbage. The AIs were dead. It looked like it was a second-rate beer commercial, and AI is theft plus destroying the planet. So, no thank you. But thank you for the question. Appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Schreckler says, what are characters, Marvel or DC, who have never been in live action TV or film that you'd want to see get a show sooner than later?
I don't know if, I mean, I've always loved Huntress. I know sometimes she's got a little shine, but
was she on? I mean, I imagine she was probably on Arrow at some point, and I just don't remember her.
She got a couple cameos.
Yeah, and wasn't
but
there
Birds,
oh,
of Prey,
Birds of Prey?
Birds of Prey. She was great in, well cast, and I was hoping maybe get a little bingo with that, but
yeah, live action. I mean, I'd say Great Lakes Avengers, that would be fun. Definitely not a movie, but a TV show would be super fun. What else? I don't know. Just because we're just talking about him, Amadeus Cho might be fun as well. I think we got we got a character called Amadeus Cho, but it wasn't really Amadeus. So rock me, Amadeus.
That would be... I would also just love a Greg Pocket and a cameo. You know what I mean? That would be also really fun.
Yeah. This is a good suggestion. Matthew Schofield says, I've always thought Etrigan the Demon would make a great Monster of the Week format show.
Oh, dude. I agree with you, man. That's a great call. You should be in charge of these things.
Mm-mm. No, thank you. Too much
rhyming. Wait, what?
I don't like him rhyming. No rhyming. It's annoying.
Well, he can rhyme in the beginning and then stop, you know? That way it's not driving you nuts the whole time.
All right. Yeah,
no more rhyming, and I mean it.
Anybody want a pita? God, I felt like you just now. I had to say that.
You did.
This is from Stray Bullet. If you had to choose between an awesome wedge salad or an awesome baked potato, which would you choose? So for those who don't know what this is about, we've been recapping Wonder Man on our Marvel Vision podcast.
Goddamn right.
Getting into some, I would say, healthy arguments about wedge salads and baked potatoes that has spilled over into our Patreon Discord, which you can join at patreon.com/comicbookclub.
Yeah, join us in the food fights.
Sure. And to answer your question, I would say awesome baked potato.
I'd go on wedge salad.
Really? Why would you choose a... And this is the key thing I want to mention here. This is spilling over between podcasts. But the thing that Straight Bullet is saying here is awesome. I'm just saying that the large majority of the time when you order a wedge salad or a baked potato, it's not good.
Oh,
you can have a good
ridiculous.
One, but it is not by default.
You're not
good.
Doing it right, man.
No, it's not on me. It's on the restaurants. Like, I don't trust restaurants to get it right. And I'm sorry, I'm not like you, Pete, constantly dining out at my high-end steakhouses in the back room with my fellow members of the Epstein list, right, Pete?
Oh, hey, easy, easy
your name's on there 1,400 times, Pete.
No, it is not. Not even
it.
One time.
It's publicly available. Search
not
Pete
even
LePage
once.
On the Epstein list. See what comes up.
There's a page number maybe in it, but that's about as close as it comes, my friend.
I guess we'll see. Anyway, here we go. Greater Good says, Super Bowl plans or at least interesting commercials. Pete, you're a sports guy. What are your plans?
Sure. I love Super Bowl is a great time for eating. And anytime there's a holiday around food, I'm there. I am doing a bunch of chilling and grilling. So, yeah, it's always great food around the Super Bowl time.
I love Puppy Bowl, which happens earlier in the day, and we usually make snacks and watch the Puppy Bowl, which is a lot of fun. I don't know what I'm going to make yet, but the past couple of years we've made some buffalo chicken dip. That's delicious. You can eat that for days.
Yeah.
And this is kind of complicated, but a couple of Super Bowls we've made these pork pretzel bao, which is basically like a pork bao with a pretzel bun around it instead.
Nice.
Really good. It just takes all day to make, but it's totally worth it. So we'll see what
delicious.
Happens. This is from Crispy Cartoons. Saw your positive review of the Muppet Show special backdoor pilot. Do you think Disney will expand it into a series? I've seen the Muppet Show special that is going to be on Disney Plus and ABC tomorrow. It is great. And I don't want to hype it up too much because basically the thing that makes it great is it is another episode of The Muppet Show. That's all they're going for, and they totally nail it. And I was like, oh, I have no notes on this. This is funny and weird, and it's a half hour long, and it's done. So to answer the question here, I think it depends on how well it does. Like, it's been really well reviewed so far. If people watch it, they'll make more of it, which would be great. So we'll see.
See how the people react to it.
See how the people react. And the people are done reacting with their audience questions. So now it is time to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Epstein himself.
Pete Would you stop that, sir?
I'm done.
You're lucky we're not in the same room anymore. You would have got punched in the face.
Why do you think we're not in the same room anymore?
Yeah, I know. It's very... very wise of you. And I've done it, you know, ask that, you know what I mean? Anyways, this is the part we give back to you, the lovely
use more
audience.
Words.
this is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, you'd probably want to go to a comic book shop, because that's where all the fun is.
Zenman answered, said, am I allowed to do this again before you even finished? Is that allowed, Pete?
Sure. Yeah.
All right, great.
Love the eagerness.
Zen Man, you are up.
All right. Today's trivia is about the comic book Dork and a small nod to the legend, Catherine O'Hara, RIP, to the hilarious and horrible mom. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. What is Dork stand for? Is it A, half Alex, half Justin? B, half dwarf, half orc? Or C, Dawan Gregory?
Wow.
Yeah.
Changing things up, Pete.
That's right.
I don't know how to feel about this.
We will see. We will see.
B,
B is correct. Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Oh, my whole world is spinning right now.
Yeah, that's right. I got to keep people on their toes. Question number two. Who is the writer slash artist on this amazing comic? Is it A, Brett Bean? B, Luke? You can either sit on the couch or lean on the Archduke. C, Erlene Luke.
Oh my God. Wow.
I'm losing my mind over here.
I mean, a little bit. A, yeah. Is it A?
A is correct. Here we go. Last one. Question number three. What is a fun fact about Dork Shield? Is it A, loves violence? B, what kind of dick would rig the B to explode? C, Dick Rigby. You laughed at it. You laughed at it. I know, Nat. I know. I've gone full dad joke on this.
Nat is like, my God, I love it.
Yeah.
Great. A.
A is correct.
All right. Congratulations, the Zen Man. You are getting a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. Pete, what secret... Oh, shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com. Pete, what is the secret Catherine O'Hara movie you were hinting at?
Of course, we're talking about the 2000 comedy Best in Show. Worth it for the legwork alone. She's
interesting. Is that your favorite Catherine O'Hara movie?
Oh, man. It's hard to pick. Mm-hmm. She was so good in so many things. One of them for sure, like the legwork she does, and the that's such a great funny movie. It's hard to, I would say Beetlejuice, and between Best in Show and Beetlejuice is, you know, and I mean Home Alone, the Kevin line where she like keels over, mm-hmm. It makes me laugh every time. Her prop fall on that is just so funny.
Yeah, we got a shout out for Waiting for Guffman in the comments. I would also say Beetlejuice, just for a number of times watched A Mighty Wind. But she was an actress that was just good in literally everything.
Everything. And everything. The reason I started watching Schitt's Creek, you know, so, and I watched every single episode of that.
Yeah. All right. As we all know, new comics come out on Wednesdays, and we're looking forward to them. Pete, what are you looking forward to in stores tomorrow?
Oh, I tell you what, not just because he was on the show, but I had this written anyway, because I do this ahead of time. DCKO Boss Battle number one.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I was drinking beer. first time I ever rooted for Lex Luthor in my life.
Oh, boy. All right. This is going to be annoying to talk about.
Thundar the Barbarian number one and Dork number one. All the comics I'm looking forward to coming out tomorrow.
Yeah, a lot of interesting stuff coming out tomorrow. I will give a shout out. Oh, my God. I just had it and then I lost it. Oh, of course, Nice House by the Sea number seven. It's the return of Vertigo. So I'm just in... based on that alone, I'm excited about it coming back. Also, Night City number one, that's a new title from Matt Kint, and that's mm-hmm. always something I'm interested in checking out. And then the other one that I was going to give a shout out to, oh, the Twilight Zone number four, which I've been a little iffy about the series, but this one is written and drawn by Nate Powell, who is amazing. And every issue when they put somebody like that on, I'm like, ah, you son of a bitch.
You got me.
You got me back. So lots of stuff to get excited about. All of that is going to be in our Stack podcast, the post Wednesday, 9 a.m. in the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. Thank you to Jeremy Adams for coming on to talk about DC KO Boss Battle, coming on tomorrow, as we mentioned, and everything else. Next week on the show, Philip Kennedy Johnson is going to be back. He is. To talk about the end of his run on Batman and Robin, and I'm sure we'll find some time to talk Infernal Hulk, Pete. All right.
We'll
like sneak.
Plus, we got to talk about his Stray Bully adventures in New Orleans.
We do lots of stuff to check in with him about. Also, lots of stuff to check in on Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast. Marvel Vision, our Marvel podcast. As mentioned, we are recapping Wonder Man right now on that. Patreon.com/comicbookclub to support the show and all the shows we do. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you, Easy Reader. Thanks, buddy. 616.